Today, we have a songwriter and storyteller who was awarded the Canadian Star of Courage. Trust me, listen to the very end. I guarantee it will put a smile on your face. Watch all your favorite teams and hometown news too. Go to don'tpayfortv.com.
Hola amigos, this is Don Alejandro de la Vega. Welcome to Tropical Paradise Waits. Do you ever dream of living in paradise? Dream no more, my friend. If you are planning on living in the tropics, or if you are a full-on expat, this show is the show for you. Listen and learn how to make the best of your leisure time. It takes more than a plane ticket to fully enjoy the tranquil lifestyle. It is a state of mind. Let's live a better life. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Positive reviews help us rise up the ranks. Please scroll down and click. Support this podcast. Gracias, and enjoy the show.
Today's guest is a longtime cabaret resident, musician, Canadian national hero, and a hero of mine, Mr. Lester Grant.
Hey there, how's it going?
Great, Lester. How you doing, man?
Alive and well, as always.
Good, good, good. Welcome to the beginning. We're on location from Lester's place, and from the seat of my pants in beautiful downtown Cabaret, Elusive Media presents Tropical Paradise Waits. Well, Lester, thank you very much for letting me interview you. I know we've done this twice before because I screwed it up.
We were practicing.
I really appreciate your patience.
No, not a problem.
Now, let me know today if I ask you anything too personal, and then we'll move on to something else, and just speak freely, and remember, I can always edit this later.
Okay, perfect.
All righty. We'll start with your name and or what you like to call yourself, but I do have to warn you, I'm obligated to turn you into Interpol if you use an alias.
Yeah. I think that's all I've ever had in my life is aliases. I used to be called Johnny Appleseed back in Winnipeg. My name is Les Lehman, but my middle name is Grant, so I always thought Lester Grant sounded like somebody up on stage.
Yeah, I've always known you as Lester Grant. So, Lester, why did you choose to relocate and come here to the north coast of the Dominican Republic?
Wow, that's a long and complicated story. Following a dream, my wife and I came here in 2004, and we had spent a few years in the U.S. prior to that. And we had a few dollars in the bank, and we're just looking for an investment.
I got to interrupt a second. You came from where? That should have been my first question.
Well, originally we're from Winnipeg. Actually, we're from a small town. Not even from. We're 10 miles down the gravel road north of Carmen, sort of between Carmen and Elm Creek, out in the boonies, out in the country, and that's where I grew up with, 10 milk cows and 500 hogs, 2,000 hens, a couple hundred ducks.
So, how long have you been living here in Cabaret?
We moved here in 2004. That's when we made the move here. So, what's it coming on now? 17 years, 16,
wow,
17
yeah, that,
years.
It's a good run. That's a good run. Have you traveled many places that you could compare this with?
I was never a big traveler. We went to Costa Rica for a few weeks. We spent a lot of time in Florida and the Gulf Coast, but a lot of time in Dallas as well, Dallas, Texas. But as far as comparing it to other Caribbean countries, no, I came here basically because a friend of mine had moved here 5 or 6 years earlier and had sort of broken the path for me.
Well, I've been here about 10 years and I've seen a lot of places, and I've came to the conclusion that this is where I want to stay. So let me quiet down for a minute. And why don't you tell, well, first of all, let me set the scene. Lester lives about, what would you say, maybe a kilometer or two out of town?
Kilometer from Janet's.
1 kilometer from town. So it's walking distance. It's a little long walk, but you can walk from town. And he's got a beautiful property. It's like a junglescape, but like I said, it's right close to town. And we're sitting out by his swimming pool. He has 4 or 5 dogs, tropical birds, all kinds of tropical fruits growing. It's really, really pleasant. And he also has some rental properties back here. Okay, I'll shut up.
Yeah, that's we came here and with the original dream was to build 32 condos. We were going to build 8 condo buildings, each with 4 condos, 2 one-bedrooms, 2 2-bedrooms. And we did get the first building completed before I ran out, as I ran out of money and the market dropped. Then when you got into 05, over 06, 07, the American economy dropped. I had invested everything here. And so financially, I am sort of stuck here, but I would much sooner be stuck in Cabaretti than stuck in Winnipeg.
Trust me, this isn't stuck.
I was in Winnipeg for 50 years. I know, been there, done that. So I enjoy living here. It's a different way of life. Anybody that's ever wanted to come here, I was just talking to people last week, they were going to buy a house. I said, don't buy a home. Rent a place, you know, for 6 months, a year, Airbnb, move around, take a look. People fall in love with the Caribbean, fall in love with Cabaretti Sisua. Like it's, but you don't really know it until you've been here.
We have a sense of community here, which is my favorite part.
Yeah, and there's a nice sense of community, but it's a different world. It's just there's a different mindset amongst all the people, and certainly this is a tourist town, so it attracts certain ne'er-do-wells that are going to prey upon the tourists in certain ways.
Yeah, but it's an adventurous type of tourist town. It's not like Punta Cana or Barbaral.
No, not at all. No, not at all. It's really an international town. There's about 40 different nationalities living here, and I don't know what the percentage would be of how many would be Dominican and how many would be Haitian and how many would be, you know, internationals, but there's lots of everything. Intermix, work together, play together, go to the bars together. It's a relax. It's a one-horse town.
Yeah, it is.
It's
yeah.
A 10-bar town, really, you know, with 10 restaurants, and but I find it very comfortable. It appeals to my country boy roots. But
so I know you raised 2 sons here. Are they still in the country?
No, my sons, they just turned 50 and 51 in the last week. So I raised them in Winnipeg. And like I said, I used to be known as Johnny Appleseed. I ran a nursery, not a nursery, but just selling trees and shrubs and doing landscape design. And so that's when the kids were about 10, 12 years old. They learned how to, the hard end of working on the end of a spade, digging holes and laying sod.
So other than your rental properties here, how do you sustain yourself? I know you do some woodworking. I know you play some music.
Yeah, the music is a whole different field for me. It's something that I've dreamed about as a kid. It was always in my mind as I was growing up that I would like to be on stage and sing and play. And so I would go to open mics. I was always playing the guitar around the house and, of course, singing in the shower, whatever. And then I started going to a little bit of karaoke. And then about, it's going to be 9 years coming in July this year. I got a gig, my first gig in my life. I went down to Voy Voy's and asked if I could do an open mic.
And speaking of that, I didn't realize it's been that long. It's been 9 years. And I have to thank you again for your patience, because all the times that I came up with my harmonica and the open mics, playing out of key and whatnot. And it's due to you. Partly and mostly that I play a lot better than I used to. I lost my stage fright due to you, and now I play with the same guys, and we actually practice. Before, I just bent notes and played blues, and now we play songs like Miss You from the Rolling Stones, so I had to actually learn how to play that song because people recognize it, and it's great fun. You're going to be a really fun open mic.
Yeah, and like you said, when you learn something, that's the beauty of when you practice and you learn something, you do get better and you do get more comfortable with yourself on stage because you're confident.
I mean, I was a teenager when I picked it up, and it's funny because some of the guys I hung around with, Desmond, Joe Shaw, The Wizard, myself, we all picked up harmonica separately. We didn't discuss it. So there were a lot of guys, and these guys can all play. But now I've reached a point where I'm comfortable, and I actually, I can say I'm a harmonica player.
Yeah, no, and I find it humorous at times because I don't call myself a guitar player at all because I've never taken lessons, and I'm not very aware of how to play a guitar at all. And I do have a damaged hand, so I don't do bar chords, so I just do very basic chords. Like if it needs to be an A minor, an A minor seventh, or some diminished thing, you'll just hear me hit the A.
And you got to fake it.
Well, I don't. It's not so much faking it, but that gives my voice a lead.
Yeah.
And that's why I play the guitar mainly to give my voice a lead, because I know the string is right. I know that string is right. So if I can match my voice to what the guitar is putting out, that gives me a big heads up.
That's another thing, too. You do give some voice lessons, and you gave me a few pointers that gave me the confidence to sing. I said I can't sing, and I still say I'm not a great singer, but I can actually carry a tune and some blues tunes that don't have a lot of range, and that's due to what you showed me, too. You got me, you gave me the confidence.
Well, like I said, I started this gig 9 years ago, and I was so petrified, scared, nervous. My knees were, I didn't know what I was doing or what, like I had a PA system. And because Michael Lowe had given me a PA system just before he passed away. And so I have this PA system. And I thought maybe if I started improving my voice, I would be more comfortable. So I went online and I bought a course. And then I bought another course. And then I enrolled in another course over 2 years or 3 years. And after about 3 or 4 or 5 years, I had listened to probably 10 or a dozen different instructors. And I started more, not learning how to sing better, you know, not huge bounding gains, but I started understanding what you needed to do to sound better. And also I'm going, all I have to do is say the same words that these people are saying in my own way, and I can do that. So it attracted me to become a voice teacher.
It's way cool what you can learn online. I study my Spanish online, and I speak Spanish not very well. But I also been studying my podcasting online. So, and it doesn't take any time away from my day because I just listen while I'm at the gym or while I'm home cooking. And I've picked quite a bit up online, and there's a lot to learn, I'll tell you.
Well, any of these podcasts or any of these speakers that are talking about becoming wealthy and becoming rich and becoming self-sufficient in this new era that we're going into are all saying the same thing. If you want to make some money, you need to get in now and make it online because you've got the global at your fingertips. It's set up for you. You just need to feed in a product of some sort.
Never been a better time to work remotely. Never.
No, exactly, and it will only grow over the next 5 to 10 years. It'll become mind-boggling because we will be hooked up to, you know, China and Russia.
So, what would you say was your when you changed your life to come here and live as you do now? Was there like a fork in the road, something that inspired you?
I had had one of these, what you'd call under the table jobs for a number of years in the United States. And what inspired me to leave was the fact that it was an under the table job. And I was getting uncomfortable with the fact that, you know, I was living in the U.S. What they would consider illegally, for right. sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure, if somebody came knocking on the door, and I started thinking about somebody knocking on the door, so I thought it was just best, let's leave town. And we did. And we ended up coming to the Dominican Republic, and within 2 weeks, bought this piece of property. 1 acre of property, 4,000 square meters.
Yeah. So what were you thinking at the time? You're just thinking you wanted to chill out and just create a new life for yourself?
No. I want to build 32 condominiums and make some money.
Great work.
The original plan was to build, 8 buildings. We got one completed, which was a blessing, because by having the 4 condos completed, it provided us with an income.
And it's a nice building too. How many? There's 4 units of that building.
Yeah, two 1 bedrooms, and then the two bedrooms up top are they're gorgeous. They're 15 years old now, but they're still pretty here. And because there's only 4 condos, even if I was full, there would only be a dozen people here.
Oh, I know something that I sort of don't want to bring it up, but let's title it Trouble in Paradise. I remember you became a bit of a celebrity a few years ago, but it wasn't a good thing that brought you to that point. Why don't you tell us about that? I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was a crazy thing that occurred to me. It was 7 years on January 31st.
That was 7 years ago?
That was...
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was 14. January 31st. And I had a humanitarian group from Manitoba that was staying here for their fifth or sixth year. And there was always 15 or 20 students and the chaperones and teachers. And they loved my place because they could rent. There's only 4 condos, but I have extra rooms, so I can easily sleep 25 people. And it was very easy to control these students. 15, 16, 17 years old, mostly girls. And so it was imperative. You bring them to Cabaretti. You don't want to turn them loose on Cabaretti. So anyway, on their fifth trip here, the first night they came at 1 o'clock in the morning, my dogs are barking. I get up. I saw that there was a screen that somebody had cut with a knife. My extension ladder, I noticed, had been moved from a tree over to one of my balconies. And I looked around, I didn't see anything, so I went back to the house, and I have a very open area house. And when I turned around, there was 2 guys standing there with guns pointed at me. And they wanted to tie me up so they could, I guess, go back and kick in the door in these condos, because there's 4 condos. I live in the house. And what ended up occurring was... I was cornered in the bedroom and knocked out, and they left me there and went, and they did kick in the one door of the condo. Now, just unbelievably, there's a security camera running at the perfectly right spot. It was like you set it up for a movie, and it's still on Google, the video of me getting shot.
I saw the video. Yeah.
So I came around the corner with a baseball bat, and I knocked one guy flat out with a home run swing to his temple, but the other guy came out and ended up putting 9 additional holes in me. I'd been shot once in the house before they beat me, the one in the arm, but because it was on a video.
Back up a minute. You had 9 bullet holes in your body.
I had what the doctors in Sisua said, you've got 10 exit wounds. Actually, they said 9. It was changed to 10 the next day because there was one that just creased my leg and didn't even cut it open. They didn't count that as one. I did.
Yeah, I would count that. Yeah, a bullet's a bullet.
Yeah, it was close enough to make a bruise. I counted that as a touch, a hit. The angels were out that night, and I wasn't hurt badly. I had holes in my legs and my arms and across my chest, but nothing in me. Nothing went in. It just went by. And so I became a hero because it was on a video, and it became the 6 o'clock news nationally across Canada into the U.S. and across the Dominican Republic the next night, February the 1st. So now Punta Cana
starts getting a blizzard of cancellations from all their Canadian customers. And so now it's a big deal because they're losing, they lost, you know, I don't know, probably hundreds of resort cancellations occurred.
Yeah, people in North America freak out when they hear things like that.
Well, the news said Canadian man gets shot 9 times in the Dominican.
Right, he had nothing to do with Punta Cana, nothing to do with any, it was pretty much an isolated incident.
I really believe what happened is that somebody was sitting at the airport when they got off the plane and were just sitting there looking for opportunities. Yeah, so I think they just followed the group home from the airport. And at that time, one of my outside walls was only a chain link fence. So it's fairly easy to come through a chain link fence. And I think that's where they came from. I don't think anybody's waiting for them.
So someone assumed all these young kids had laptops and money and stuff like that. And they figured they hit them on day one before they spent any of their money.
Yeah, and they just, you know, it just happened, and it just happened to happen to me, and it just happened to get caught on camera. And like I say, because it was a video, it was national news. The federal government ended up flying myself and my wife to Ottawa and pinned a star of courage on my chest, and made me a national hero because I had shown bravery in assisting these Canadian girls.
Tell me more about the Star of Courage. Does that give you any sort of privileges?
No. No, it's not. The Star of Courage is it's just a medal for conspicuous courage in circumstances of peril. Basically, that's the wording of it. And
now, but you did mention to me once before something about your signature.
Now I can sign my name Les Lehman or Lester. Actually, when they gave me the medal, I told them my name was Lester Grant Lehman, and now you have a SC behind it. What do you call it? A prenomial or a
which stands for Star of Courage,
rather than Star of Courage.
So if you were from England, you would be knighted. You'd be like Elton John.
What? Yeah. It's appreciative, an honor. It was like I was interviewed by 3 or 4 TV stations and magazines and so on. And basically my line was, I just did something completely irrational and the universe gave me a break. And there must have been angels there because, like I said, I got hit 10 times and even within 15 or 20 seconds of it being over, I realized I was okay. I realized there was no blood pumping out. I didn't get one in the head or the guts.
Well, you did run out there with a baseball bat, which is something I don't think I would have done, but you did probably felt that you had to protect the youth that were staying here.
Yeah, no thinking involved.
Yeah, oh, you just reacted. So who knows how I would react.
Yeah. At the time, it's a different world.
Right. Wow.
And I think, when you be brave, and I think the universe steps in and helps you. And
some adrenaline, sure. Yeah.
I think the universe steps now, up and say, this guy's crazy. We're going to have to help him out a little.
In addition to what I told you before about this property, Lester's house, he basically lives outside. He doesn't have any windows. He doesn't have any walls. He's got one area with his kitchen, and I haven't been past the kitchen. I assume your bedroom's back there. And he can lock himself in there. But the whole house, I mean, all his electronics, his television, everything's right out in the open. And while I'm at it, that measures have been taken. So it's highly unlikely an incident like this would ever happen again. It's perfectly safe here right now.
Yeah. Oh, very safe. It was just... And like some people were extremely frightened. I don't blame them, but that's not what the Dominican is all about at all.
And yesterday I stopped here and Lester wasn't around, and I left a bag with my laptop and all my recording equipment. I left it right out in the open on the table, and I went about my business and came back and got it later.
Yeah, it's It's a very safe country. It's as long as you're not doing something stupid, like going, you know, downtown at midnight and getting three or four rums and buying the girls drinks. Yeah. You're going to get into trouble. Anybody can get into trouble any place in the world.
Everybody I talk to has problems like that, getting their pockets picked and such. They're always out doing something. And I asked them, would you do that in Cleveland? Yeah. Oh, no, it's dangerous. But they do it here, and then they blame the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
But when, you know, guys are on vacation,
I couldn't help myself. I fell in love.
And you can't, I learned a long time ago, don't try to tell them.
No,
they don't listen. Just don't try to tell them. Just let them enjoy themselves.
Especially if they're in love.
Oh, yeah, to tell you about the beautiful young girl they met, and she's fantastic, and... Oh, I've never met anyone like it. Just congratulate them and move on. And you'll see them.
My response
sure
is
usually, enough, you'll see them with a pout on their face a couple of days later.
My normal response is good luck with that.
Yeah.
Buena suerte.
Oh, man. So what's what would you, do you have a best or, well, that was your worst moment, I'm sure, since you've been here, the invasion, that had to be awful.
Well, it was exciting as hell. It changed my life.
Oh, exciting.
You know, if you go to the bar and have a beer, I've got one of the best stories in town to tell. And it's made me a small town celebrity, along with my singing at the open mic at Voy Voy's.
Oh, absolutely.
Then getting shot 10 times and being on national TV. I'm a small town celebrity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are. Well, like I said, I've always known you for your singing and your songwriting. Lester writes some like really good songs that I gotta be honest, I never really listened to them because when you're out, you're drinking and socializing. And until I came here to the house and we played around a little bit with him, and he's got some great little ballads with really good lyrics. Some of them are really humorous and very, very good.
Of them were written 30, 35, and 40 years ago. In fact, one of them was written 50 years ago, the one that I wrote for my son, Sean. He just turned 51, so it's been over 50 years since I wrote that.
How many do you have about
songs that you wrote,
originals?
A dozen.
Yeah, yeah.
8, 10, a dozen.
You got a CD.
Some of them are sort of off color, off key. No, yeah, off color. They're a little twisted.
Well, never mind. That's understood.
Yeah.
This is only the second show now, and today is Tuesday. I launched the first one on Sunday evening, and I left instructions of how people could leave messages. Now, I did get a few messages. One of them was a little off color. Another one, it was somebody in town. Someone was trying to bust my balls, and, you know, if they were trying to hurt my feelings, well, they succeeded. They did a little bit, but they're really stupid because you have to put your email address in and I can see who it was. So we're just going to let that go. The third message I got was from my sister, my older sister, Mary, and I'm pretty proud of her. She's a retired school teacher and she learned to play ukulele and she loves it. She plays, she writes her own songs, she writes her own lyrics. Usually she copies the melody from somewhere else, but there's a few that she did herself. And anyway, her question was, are there any ukulele groups here in Cabarete and open mics and places she could play? And I said, well, I got the go-to guy right here. So Lester, why don't you answer my sister's question?
Hey, the open mic has been just a surprising pleasure for me and phenomenal learning experience because of all the people I've met over the years. And it's open to anybody. You know, I say good, bad, or ugly. If you get it, I've had people come up that, you know, weren't that talented. In fact, sometimes were downright bad. That doesn't matter. If you're up there on the microphone, you get my respect and you get some applause when you're done.
However, I've noticed most of the people playing the open mic here are pretty good. There's a lot of talent.
Phenomenal. In Cabaretti, there's a dozen or 15 top musicians that live in town.
And, you know, like I said, I hope I'm not repeating myself, but the band, it's transient, like everything else, like my guests on the podcast, people come and go. So it's always going to change. But the beautiful part about that is when you get guys who've never played together before, they tend to play something simple, which is 12-bar blues, which is perfect for me as a harmonica player.
Yeah. And I have to apologize to people all the time because I'm, as I said, not a trained guitar player at all. So I never played in a band. I never played in a group. I only played solo. I was always I learned how to sing by busking.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, it was actually after I had the shooting incident and I damaged all the bones. So my left hand was out of commission for just about 4 or 5 months before I could finally start to play my guitar a little bit again. And that's when I really realized how much I missed singing. And I was going to Calgary. So
what's the definition of busting for those people out there who don't understand what it is?
Oh, busking? Well, if you look it up, if you Google it and look up the definition, it's just if you've got any sort of an act, it doesn't matter if it's juggling or whatever it is, you have some sort of an act and you find a space, which they call a pitch, and you ask for money. Oddly enough, the definition of a busker is someone who does ask for money. If you're not asking for money, you're not busking. And so now when I go back to Winnipeg, I still go out by the liquor store there.
Open your guitar case.
Open my guitar case and make 50, 60 bucks an hour.
No kidding, yeah.
No, all the time. My family was, I think, a little embarrassed when I said I was going to stand by the liquor store and play my guitar. But then when I come home, two and a half hours later, I've always got $100, $110 and probably two or three little bottles of booze or a couple cans of beer and the occasional sandwich.
Oh, yeah. We can feed you, huh?
That's the life of the busker. And busker, standing out there just singing, there's something very, very freeing about it. There's something, you learn something about yourself. Standing out there playing for nobody. Like I say, best education I would advise anybody that wants to entertain or play, just go out in the street and start playing. You want to play? Go play. And after you do that for a week or two or three, you'll realize how much more relaxed you are and improved.
Yeah, and build your confidence. As a harmonica player, I can't really do that.
I've seen all sorts of buskers.
Speaking of years back at Chibola, there were 7 or 8 of us. We went up and played, and we never played together. And there was just something in the air that night. I mean, it was a great night. Remember that Italian dude who played guitar, the kite surfer guy from Voy Voy? It's been a couple of years since he's been
here. Yeah, Filippo.
Filippo. Yeah. So we all go up on the stage, and Filippo says, "Let's do Mojo." And I'm like, oh, perfect, right? So we played, man. Everyone was into it. And then someone said, "Wow, man, that was great. How have you guys been practicing?" And Filippo said, "No, as a matter of fact, we've never played together before." But most of the audience didn't realize it. Pretty simple song.
Yeah.
And then I looked back and I realized there are not only 8 guys who never played together, we're from 8 different countries. I mean, how fun is that, man?
Yeah, and 8 at Voy Voy's, I've seen 15 people up all playing together.
Oh, yeah,
I've seen at Voy Voy's, and sometimes when there's 4 saxophones, a trumpet, a French horn, a violin, and that's just then, 4 or 5 guitars and drums and congos.
Yeah, well,
and
a couple of weeks ago, we had a keyboard and saxophone, flutes. Everybody.
Yeah,
it's a hell of a lot of fun, man. So anyway, back to my sister's question. Yeah, you're invited to play, and a lot of times, if you want, the other musicians, you tell them what key you're in, and they'll sit in with you and enhance your performance. And we make up lyrics.
Absolutely.
And stuff, too.
and that's something that I'm working on a little bit, is getting a little more, educating myself a little bit better on keys and key changes, and also in telling people what key I'm going to play. I'm just so negligent in telling people is because I've never played with a band before. It's never been part of my job. So, and Mr. Fugly has, a dozen times, and I apologize to him every time. Like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I forgot to tell you what key I'm going to play.
Well, he can tell by listening.
Yeah, he'd follow right away. But at least
I
have to give him, like, you know, turn around so he can look at my strings. Oh, okay. Right away, he knows what key I'm in.
Tell the people a little bit about David Fugly and his job. I hope he doesn't mind.
Yeah, well, he's one of the many musicians in town that has purchased a condo here. He lives in town. Like I say, there are a dozen or 15, I guess, semi or semi-pro musicians that live in town. And you
also a music teacher.
And you go to Sisua, it's the same thing. There's another dozen musicians over there that get together and play every week at the bar.
What I was digging for was his teaching career, and I don't know exactly like where he was. I know he was in a foreign country. You're not sure. Yeah, he had a contract and he taught music for many years. And when he first showed up, I remember playing with him, and I thought he was yelling at me, but he wasn't yelling at me at all. He was teaching me.
Yelling at the chord.
And I thought, this guy's so good, he don't want me up here.
Like I say, it's been a phenomenal education for me, working with all these different musicians. Aaron Matthews, he was there for 9 years. He's just left town about 2-3 months ago, and he was a great educator for me, because again, I never played in a group. I never played with anybody, and he would sit behind me and
he'll be back.
Yeah, and he would play his cajon, which is the drum, which at times drove me crazy. Drove me crazy, because when I'm singing a song, I have the drum beat in my head. I know what the drummer sounds like in my head,
right.
And it ain't the one that he's hammering out in the cajon at that moment. So you have to blend in with him, and hopefully he blends in with you.
Well, this might be, I guess this is as good as time as any to mention to you. The other night when we were playing and I was doing a little solo and you were singing quietly so I could follow along with my solo. Well, I do the same thing. What I do is I have lyrics in my head and I try to play along to those lead lyrics. And it might not be the right lyrics, but just so I can follow the tune through.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, that didn't help me. Don't do that again. Well, Lester, I really appreciate the interview. I mean, if anything you have to add, we could sit here all afternoon if you'd like.
Hey, can I put in a plug for my place?
No, sorry. No plugs. Of course you can.
Vecinos, which means neighbors in Spanish. The name of my resort is called Vecinos, V-E-C-I-N-O-S. And I have condos that I lease out here. If you go on Google, there's 4 or 5 different sites. You just look up Vecinos and Cabaretti. And in fact, if you want to contact me, it's at vecinos.22.
Spell it.
At Gmail, vecinos.22.
Spell it out for people, though.
That's it. V-E-C-I-N-O-S punto 22.
I mean, vecinos, it's a Spanish word. So
Gmail. At Gmail.
Or it's perfectly fine to email me directly, francogringo13@gmail.com, francogringo13@gmail.com. Email me and I could put you in touch with Lester, no problem.
And if you're looking for any beautiful 12, 14 foot tables or bars, I've got some 14 foot long Saman slabs here that are about 4 inches thick, 30 to 40 inches wide. So if you're looking for a beautiful table or a coffee table or a bar, I have got some fabulous wood for you.
You could throw it right in your carry-on luggage and bring it home.
Yeah, those pieces I think are around 800 pounds.
Hey, you know what? You know what? If it's okay with you, I know we're not really set up for it. In fact, we probably have to switch our recording equipment a little bit. But you think maybe you could play us a couple of tunes and we could put them on the end of the program?
Sure, I can.
You happy to do that?
Hey, I'm a musician. I got the neon in my veins.
That would be great, man. I really appreciate that. All righty.
I'll go grab my guitar.
Yeah, let's do that, and we'll get to that later. Thank you so much, Lester. I appreciate everything.
My pleasure.
All right, bro. I think we did well.
Hey, Frank. It's your sister testing the system. The episode I just listened to was much better. I sent you a message on WhatsApp. And you have to find out if they have ukuleles in ukulele groups in Cabo Verde. All right. Talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.
Again, thank you for that great interview, Lester. I really appreciate you doing that for me, and I enjoyed it. Hey, we reached the middle of the program. And I have to ask, are you tired of paying those high cable and TV bills? Then cut the cord on cable. Get 5,000 live channels, including movies and theaters, your hometown news and weather, all top live sports, even blacked out games. Mention Tropical Paradise Waits and get $20 off a fully loaded Fire Stick delivered to your front door within 2 to 3 days. Free shipping. Hey, if you already have a Fire Stick, just call us and we'll give you the codes. It's pretty easy. Call 423-381-8423. That's 423-381-8423. Or go to don'tpayforcable.com. That's DONTPAYFORTV.com. Did I say cable? No, it's not cable. It's TV. Don'tpayforcable.com. I was just disturbed. Lester just brought me a beer. So my mind went to a better place. But remember, folks, we do want to hear your voice. So please contact us through our host. Download the Anchor mobile app and search Tropical Paradise Waits. Then tap voice message. Send this message. My email is francogringo13@gmail.com, all lowercase, francogringo13@gmail.com. Now, if you decide that you want to come down and stay at Lester's location or wherever you decide you want to stay, you can always just get a hold of us direct or just go online and find it yourself. But I do want you to remember there is a service that offers an absolutely free place to stay in exchange for you watching their pet. And if you want more information on that, just contact me and I'll kind of walk you through it. Now, if you're still with us, folks, something kept you to this part of the show. Now, if you like what you heard, give me a little help. Spread the word. Send our links to your contacts, your Facebook friends. Follow us and subscribe. Leave a 5-star review with Apple Podcasts. This is the only way we will rise up in the ranks. So please give us a little break, man. Help us out a little bit. If you don't do it, nobody will. Send yourself a reminder for Sundays. Add us to your Sunday routine. Download one of my favorite podcasts, This American Life. Give the dog a bath. Watch 60 Minutes. Have spaghetti for dinner. Take your mom to church and listen to Tropical Paradise Waits. Tap, follow us, scroll down, and support this podcast. Thank you. Two out of our three promotions are taking. This is the third one. If you want it, let us know. We'll work something out with you. It won't cost you much. Now, you know we can't use published music. So this gives us the chance and the opportunity to go out with local undiscovered talent. And it gives you the opportunity to discover it, publish it, and enjoy it. So we're going to go out with a couple songs written by today's guest, Senior Lester Grant. And you can listen live, uninterrupted, after the credits. I probably help him a little bit with the harmonica, too, if he lets me. So if you're listening on a treadmill, walking, running, ice skating, kite surfing, rock climbing, cleaning your house, walking the dog, good accomplishment. If you just sat there and listened, you may have wasted a perfectly good hour listening to shit that you don't care or have an interest in. So meet us halfway and share your thoughts. Don't forget, download the Anchor app, search Tropical Paradise Waits, tap voice message that's printed in the show credits, and then just send us a message. We want to hear your voice. Tropical Paradise Waits is presented by Elusive Media. Thank you very much.
Today's credits are as follows. Thank you to our program director,
Don Alejandro de la Vega.
Our editor and fact checker,
they'll never know.
Our chairperson,
Wilma Butfit.
Fleet managers,
Lisa Carr.
Our charm consultant today is
the always charming Miss Inga Tooth.
Tiki Bar reviews by
Hassan Ben Sober.
Our favorite divorce attorney,
Carmine, not yours.
Our credit counselor is
Max Stout.
And our fashion designer today,
Hugh Jass.
And of course, our download counter,
Adam Ilion.
If you enjoyed the show, help us continue by scrolling down and clicking support for this podcast.
This was a song called Mrs. Hulk. Just a sort of a crazy song I wrote years ago. She had a chest like Rocky Marciano. Well, she weighed 300 pounds. Lord, was she a bulk. If you meet her on the street, just step aside and say, pardon me, ma'am. Hey, you don't go messing around with Mrs. Hulk. I saw her snatch her purse from the windowsill, and then she blew me a great big kiss. So I went down, all the way down to liquor store, and I knew I would miss her whole family. She grabbed my bag of chips and she ate them all. And so I beat her up and down the stairs. She can't help it. No, she can't help it. She's such a country girl at heart. And she left me with my heart on my sleeve. Well, she jerked me off my horse just to kiss me, and I felt it in the balls of my feet. She said, you arsehole, lucky you're addicted to love, but I couldn't get her to come with me. Now Mrs. Hulk, she was big on women's liberation. Well, she can whoop the hell out of most any man. Well, I should know because I'm Mrs. Hulk's old man. Oh, I should know because I'm Mrs. Hulk's old man. Mrs. Hulk.
That was fucking hilarious, man. That was great. Hey, yes, how about that? That song that would work real good for this show. I remember you singing a song about right here in Cabaretti. You know what I'm talking about?
Come on back to Cabaretti.
Yeah. Please come on back to Cabaretti.
Come on back to Cabaretti. Yeah. Oddly enough, I wrote this sitting in a wheelchair at my son's place in Winnipeg when I was recuperating from the gunshot.
You're thinking about coming back here, huh?
And I wrote this song. I just started playing the Red River Valley.
Oh, okay.
And I changed the words from the Red River Valley.
Oh,
Red River
man, Valley. I hope Apple Podcasts allows that.
Yeah, yeah. Once you put new words to it, it's a new song.
And that's you're also in the key of E?
Yeah. Yeah, join me.
Yeah, please.
From this ocean, they say that you are going. I will miss those tan lines and that sweet smile. Oh, you know, you are taking the sunshine that has brightened up these beaches for a while.
don't you think of this ocean that you're leaving? All the sun, the sand, the surf, and the ocean spray. Won't you please come on back to Cabaret, hey? 'Cause this old surfer dude, he's here to stay. Oh, now get your sails up in the sunshine. Feel the wind tugging at your rippling kite. You can surf all day long out at Encuentro, and then have yourself a hot cabaret night. Won't you sit down in the sand? I know you love me. Have a nice cold Presidente, Mama Wanda too. We will watch the sun slide down from Vecinos. This is how I will always remember you. Won't you think of this ocean that you're leaving? All the sun, the sand, the surf, and the ocean spray. Won't you please come on back to Cabaret, hey? 'Cause this old surfer dude, I'm here to stay. Yeah, please come on back to Cabaret, hey? Because this old surfer dude, yeah, I'm here to stay. Now, Lester Grant original, come on back to Cabaret.
Lester, that was really fun, man. This is the reason I started. This is the first time since I started this project that I actually had fun doing it, man. It's all due to you.
That's great.
So, hey, man, I know you got a lot to do. I know you got a refrigerator to fix, and you got a new dog to train.
Yeah, I have two new pups. I just got one like 3 or 4 days ago. Found her on the beach. You know, her mother had been hit by a car, and somebody had been looking after her for 2 or 3 weeks, but she needed a home. So
yeah, she's a pretty little Jack Russell Terrier too. She's really short hair. She's really a beautiful little dog. Yeah, really, really cute. And now you should be glad that it's not a male, because they're Jack Russell males. They're brutal, man. They're mostly all alpha males. They're tough.
Yeah, she sort of looks like a Jack Russell, but she's a Dominican.
Yeah, well, she's a little taller than a Jack
and
Russell.
She's really, she's strong. She's
got like Jack Russell in her for sure, though. I had one.
Yeah. Could be. She's terrible. A terrier for sure. But
well, listen, man, like I said, I'm really enjoying this, and too bad we got to go. But if you don't mind, man, I'd like to just hang around. We'll sit and chat for a while. Is that cool?
Sure.
All right, brother. Mr. Lester Grant, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. See ya. Play us out with something.
I don't need your rocking chair. No Geritol, no Medicare. I got the neon in my veins. This gray hair, it don't mean a thing. I do my rocking on the stage. Yeah, don't put this old man in no cage. This body's old, but it ain't impaired. Nope. I don't need your rocking chair. I don't need your rocking chair. I don't need your rocking chair. Hey, thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Esther.
Good to talk to you.
All right, man.